6 minutes past 12 o'clock, and welcome back to Midday here on the FM News Station. I'm Gary Acton. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to continue our series, The History of Black Radio. Today, taking a look at the contributions of a couple of early radio pioneers, Jack Cooper and Al Benson, and lots of archival tape. Interesting series hosted by Lou Rawls. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes, but Stephen Smith has joined us once again here in the studio to...
Hi, Gary.
Try to convince those of you listening to make a call. Take a couple of minutes of your precious time and call in, make a membership pledge so that we can continue to provide you with Midday over the next year.
Three people are on the line now calling at 1-800-227-2811. Gary, I was thinking, watching a little bit of television last night, and I noticed something that if you watch television news, you can't have failed to notice. Mm-hmm. It's sweeps week. Right?
Yes.
And, you know, if you think about it, what we're doing now at Minnesota Public Radio amounts to our sweeps week. Mm-hmm. In television, this is one of the weeks of the year where the news stations attempt to get as many people watching as they can so that their audience numbers are the highest in town so that they can therefore charge more for the advertising, which is how they pay their bills. Now, there is absolutely nothing wrong with it. That's the way commercial broadcasting works. And one of the things, like it or not, that they deal with every, a couple times a year is mm-hmm. sweeps week. A couple times a year, we come to you with a message saying, we got to pay for this, and you're the people who help us pay for it. Our message, to a certain extent, may be more direct because we're not asking you to buy some product, which is then going to kick back a few cents to us. We're coming directly to you and saying, dial 1-800-227-2811. Contribute your money directly to the program you're listening to, in this case, Midday, with three people on the line now. Now, one thing that you, another thing, however, that is very different between sweeps weeks in television or in radio, I suppose they have them, and in our membership week at Minnesota Public Radio is, when we do this, we sometimes occasionally bring out really standout programming, but by and large, we ask you to contribute money to what you're used to hearing. Mm-hmm. We go about our business very much the way we do any other week of the year, whereas in television, as you know, you will suddenly hear all kinds of promotional spots for, you know, the story of how you might be accidentally killing your children. The thing you're doing every day, and you don't realize the peril it puts you in. We'll have the story of what that is at 10. Now, you know, we all take it with a bit of, with some tongue in cheek, and bless our colleagues in television because they do a good job and they do valued stuff. However, one of the things that many of our listeners say is that they like the fact that what we present is straight ahead. We don't sort of do that kind of marketing mumbo jumbo, and the news that you get is of substance, is of depth, and is of value. For example, the documentary coming up. So that's a long way of saying, you know, you see what they do. What they do is important. What they do is valuable, and you're paying for it by buying the products that they're advertising. We need you to pay for what we do. Now is the time to do it. This is our sweeps week. 1-800-227-2811.
Great way to directly invest in something that you use. Not a pig in a poke here. If you listen to Midday, we're asking you to call and make a membership pledge. If you're not a member, then you're one of the folks we're certainly talking to. We have a membership challenge grant in effect. A number of members. Who's next up on the list? There's such a long list of people who are part of this thing.
It's really remarkable.
Existing members who have pooled their resources to match your new membership contributions.
Kathy and Bill Nelson of Plymouth and Sarah Brazilier of Eagan are two of the members who contributed to this challenge fund, this challenge pool, so that you can call, become a new member, and have your membership dollars matched, doubled. At 1-800-227-2811.
So if you've been worried that your $66 contribution, say, isn't really worth all that much in the big scheme of things, well, it always is, but right now, of course, it's worth $132. You see how quickly this can multiply with that one phone call. So if you're not a member yet, then you're one of the folks we need to hear from. If you're already a member, a lot of you joined a year ago during our February drive last year, and at that time, of course, there was a lot of concern about declining federal funds. And so many of you rallied to the cause. That's why we're here, of course, again this year. But needless to say, the federal money didn't come back. It's still gone, and eventually I think it'll probably go away altogether. So we can't afford to lose you. Please call in and renew your membership. And if you're all paid up and you can do a little bit extra, an additional contribution is a great way to show your support. The important thing, whatever your circumstance, whatever amount you can afford to give, that you call in and show your support for good quality news programming. Do you enjoy the documentaries? A lot of people enjoy the National Press Club broadcast. I was talking to a fellow the other night, said that's his favorite thing on midday. A lot of people call in and call-ins. Maybe you're one of them. Are you a member? Well, give us a call. Become a member. It's very quick, 2-minute process. You don't have to go to any meetings. We won't harass you with a lot of weirdness. All we want is your name, address, phone number, and what membership level you'd like to join at. We'll send you a premium, 227-2811, 227-2811. Outside the Twin Cities, the number is 1-800-227-2811.
Two people are on the line now. Gary, we have many other lines available. A room full of volunteers ready to take your call. You can pay with a Visa, MasterCard, American Express, a Discover card. Pay by check. You can call us on your cell phone. You can email us at pledge@npr.org. Think about how you would use this subscription service if you were paying for it. You would probably do what you're doing now, tuning in every day when you need the news, listening to what you need, and then moving on if you're done. You know, there's no requirement that either you listen to a minimum amount or a maximum amount. You are in control in terms of how you use the service. You're also in control in terms of how you contribute. Think about contributing, say, $10 a month. That adds up to our $120 membership level. We have some thank you gifts that go along with that, an NPR canvas tote bag you can carry around. Or for $15 a month, that's the day sponsor level. You can have your own on-air sponsorship message to celebrate the occasion of your choice, whatever you want, and a message printed in Minnesota Monthly. Also, some thank you gifts that go along with that, a travel alarm clock, or NPR's umbrella, a large umbrella, which it says it's a golf umbrella, but since I don't play golf, that doesn't excite me too much. Extra large black and red windproof umbrella with a fiberglass shaft, a nice handle, and a 9-iron on the bottom of it.
It really does work well, whatever your circumstance. You know, we have a special documentary series coming up. We're going to continue that series here in about a minute or so, History of Black Radio. And it's the kind of programming you can't hear elsewhere. If you think it's useful, then we need to hear from you. Many of you are already members. Bless your heart. Thank you so much for your continuing support. And we wouldn't be here, we couldn't do this kind of programming without you. But if you've not yet had a chance to call in your membership, some of the people who've been members aren't going to be able to renew, and they need you to pick up the slack.
That's right.
It's really simple. $66 is what it costs for a full year. Now think about that. Compare that to what you pay for other services. $66 for a full year is not, I mean, you know, it's $5 a month plus change.
Not too shabby.
227-2811 or 1-800-227-2811.
And if you think somehow that this is an abstract question, it's not. If you think that your contribution isn't seen, isn't appreciated, that's not true either. One person at a time has made this radio station, this radio service, as strong as it is, and we need that level of support, one person at a time, to continue. Federal funding has been reduced in the last year by more than $300,000, for example. So, your contribution counts. We need to hear from you at 1-800-227-2811.
It's 15 minutes now past 12, and our volunteers, by the way, are going to be here right on through the hour, so keep the phones ringing. That's the only way we're going to be able to make our goal. Keep those phones ringing, 227-2811. Meanwhile, as promised, our documentary series continues.
PRI, Public Radio International.
Black Radio, Telling It Like It Was, is made possible by a major grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with additional support from the James Smithson Society and the Public Radio International Program Fund, whose contributors include the Ford Foundation and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
From Radio Smithsonian.
Destination Freedom.
7 minutes and Red Hot beat me down. Bring you up train to today.
This is John on the back on the scene.
Top of the morning.
Now I know you got to have some soul, because I got to be some soul.
I have a dream today.
But we hadn't been laughing.
We couldn't have gotten a point across.
Everybody get up, boogie. You're digging WOL.
Black Radio, telling it like it was. A history of radio and the African-American culture. I'm Lou Rawls. You know, growing up in a city like Chicago is quite a cultural experience, especially on the musical side, because there was so much going on in that city. But you see, Chicago is the home of some of the best music in America. I would say in the world, for that matter. It's got the best jazz, it's got the best blues, and of course, you can't even begin to talk about the gospel music that came out of that city. The Windy City was also the home of two legends in black radio. That was Al Benson and Jack Cooper.
Say, I noticed here that there's quite a bit of news in the press daily now with respect to socialized medicine, and seemingly that the AMA is somewhat bitter against it. But what I always assumed that was socialized medicine, when you go to a party and insist on dancing with your doctor.
Jack Leroy Cooper was America's first black disc jockey with a commercially sustained program. It all started in 1925. Now, at that time, Negroes weren't allowed in Washington, D.C.'s radio station, WCAP. But you know what Cooper did? He turned his cap around backwards and pretended to be a delivery boy. And he got into the building. Then he convinced an orchestra leader to let him be the straight man in a comedy act. Here, Miss Gertrude Roberts Cooper picks up the story.
So the man agreed. This was his advent into radio. And one fellow who was hearing him said, "You're doing this quite backwards. You should be the comedian and let the orchestra leader be the straight man." So I think he got $5 a performance three times a week. But that's how it all began.
After his successful premiere on radio in Washington, Cooper was determined to make it big in Chicago. He eventually bought time on foreign language station WSBC.
And what he did is he fit into the ethnic radio scene in Chicago and met a fellow named Silverstein, who had a station called WSBC. And Silverstein's goal was to serve all of the ethnic communities in Chicago.
Historian Mark Newman says that from the start, Cooper set out to make a lot of money.
The way you did it is that you would buy time from the station, then sell the time to advertisers, develop your programming and your sponsors yourself. So all the radio station provided was the wherewithal, and then you got all the money. And what he did is he took care of his business on a very, very professional level. And that's how he succeeded.
In 1929, Cooper developed the All Negro Hour. It mirrored the variety shows on the networks, but it featured Cooper and other black talent. By the 30s, Mr. Cooper had quite a few live programs on the air. His fame as the first black disc jockey started one weekend in 1931 when the union pulled the pianist off Cooper's non-union show. Rumor has it that Jack carved a hole in a piano bench, stuck in a turntable, put the mic in front of it, and continued his broadcast.
Is there anyone finer in the state of Carolina? If there is, then you know her, sure.
As a kid growing up in Chicago, myself and the late Sam Cooke and Jerry Butler, Gene Chandler, the Dells, the Shylights, and of course Mahalia Jackson, she was the queen mother. But we all started out singing gospel music. Now, this is where Mr. Cooper became a very important conduit for us, because he was a leader in the broadcast of religious programming in the black community.
Gracious Lord.
Here's former radio station secretary Florence Summers and she says Cooper introduced his radio listeners to Mahalia Jackson, as well as many others.
She started out at this church, and nobody knew Mahalia at the time, but because of the broadcasts, and especially with the blacks being so attracted to the different church programs, that really was her beginning.
I am tired I am weak.
Well, Trudy, the hands over there on the clock seem to be pointing down at the old book over there that says, "Let's find missing relatives."
We're sure going to do our very best, Jack. And friends, we'd like to enlist your aid to find a Franklin A. Frazier, left Charleston, South Carolina, October 31st, was last seen November 1st in Greensboro, North Carolina. He left there with Chicago as his destination, but hasn't been heard from since.
Over a period of 12 years, Cooper's Missing Persons broadcast helped locate more than 20,000 people. That's a lot of people, man.
Friends, if you'd like to use this free service, you're welcome to. Send us your letter and address it to Jack L. Cooper, 1331 West 111th Place, Chicago.
Luckily for Mr. Cooper, uplifting his race also raised his income. By the 40s, he was grossing six figures. Retired WHFC Secretary Florence Summers.
Jack, unbeknownst to most everybody, he owned a 55-apartment building near the Plaisance of the University of Chicago. But he had to put it into a trust so nobody would be aware of the fact that they were renting from a black owner. He built this beautiful home he had on the south side with only one bedroom because he didn't want his wife's family to start barging in on him.
Many of his broadcasts were done from his home studio, but Mr. Cooper also was doing live broadcasts from his mobile unit. Al Ragland was a teenager when he first worked with Jack Cooper.
They did remotes from Calumet City on the Strip in bars, you know, and they'd have contests, and I'd go out and set those up and act as a staff announcer. And it was really, really a great time, you know, being 17 and 18 years old and being an announcer, you know, it was big fun.
Cooper's Chicago broadcasting empire grew every year. He broadcast Negro League baseball until 1946. By 1947, he was even spinning R&B records. Although he hated the term disc jockey, he wanted to be called commercial radio announcer. But no matter what you called him, he was on a roll. For 41 hours a week on four stations, you could listen to Jack L. Cooper Productions with its 50 sponsors. He showed the nation that black-oriented programming could make a lot of money. Here's Chicago DJ Richard Stamps.
Right on the gravy train. Yes, I'm riding.
During the period of his height, Jack must have had 15 or 20 satellites. People that worked for him that portrayed his type of thinking and so forth on radio. He had a projection. I guess a lot of white people didn't know he was black. But to me, no mistake about it, and to the average black person, but he never tried to portray himself as anything else except black.
This is the voice of Jack L. Cooper.
We at this time urge a vote of thanks on the part of everyone listening to me at this particular time to make known to Governor Leroy Collins of the state of Florida for his stand and his expressions with respect to the fact that, regardless of what your race, color, or creed is, if a store is open to the public and taking the public's money in any department of that store, everybody should be accorded the same treatment regardless.
Here's Cooper's brother-in-law, Bob Roberts.
He offered something to black people that they could appreciate, and that was a black man who didn't necessarily sound like he came from the bowels of Mississippi. Black people were proud of the fact that a black man could talk good English, could command your respect the way he talked. things that he said and the way he said them. And he was a source of pride for a lot of black people.
Jack Cooper dominated black radio in Chicago until the end of World War II. Then there was a new guy on the air, and he was a different sound.
Time, 10 a.m. This is WGES 1390 on the dial. Now it's time for your old friend and swingmaster with Swing and Sway. And now here he is, Al Benson.
Thank you. And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Here I am, all ready and all set to bring to you 30 minutes of red-hot beat-me-down, bring you up swing tunes of today. And now it's on with the show. And the name of our first tune as we bring it to you here is Ruth Brown doing 5, 10, 15 hours.
My name is Herb Kent. I'm an air personality on V103. As Chicago was expanding, we came close to having a million blacks in Chicago. And in the 40s, along came Al Benson, a southern gentleman who maintained a very strange southern accent. Obviously, he wasn't white. He mispronounced words by the score. He said them just however they came out of his mouth.
For that living room suite, bedroom suite, dining room suite, or that kitchen outfit, go to the Chicago Furniture Company, where you get the best in furniture and where you can get little or no money down and easy weekly or monthly payments. Yes, monthly payments will do it for you. That's the great Chicago Furniture Company, 4238 Cottage Grove Avenue on Chicago's Great South Side.
He would eat and talk at the same time. I have seen him with a mouthful of food, the record be over. He just take and spit the food out in his hand and continue talking. When he was through, he put the food back in his mouth. Oh, it was hilarious, but he was very, very effective.
Remember, money down, forget it. Get the best to give is Chicago Furniture Company. And now we go back to music for your listening pleasure, and we bring to you Billy Holiday doing God Bless the Child. Let's get it on.
Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own.
Chicago radio veteran Lucky Cordell says that in addition to Benson's unique style of delivery, it was his choice of musical selections that made him so popular with Chicago's new migrants from the South.
My family, you know, who all migrated from the South, I mean, when you came in the house, there was no TV, and usually the radio was on, and if it was evening, it was Al Benson. The main thing that he had going was he played music that nobody else was playing. There was nowhere else they could hear this music that they grew up with than him. It would be the same thing, someone coming from a foreign country, and there was only one guy in town playing that music. And there was a lot of these people, you know, I mean, it'd be instant. I tell you, he was an overnight success. He went on the air and words spread like wildfire. Have you heard this new guy, this Al Benson?
My name is Eddie O.J. I never wanted to be like Al Benson because I felt like Al Benson, now no better today, was killing the King's English. But you couldn't get a record played in Chicago without seeing Al Benson. He had all the business tied up. He had all the furniture companies. You name it, he had it. And he was still talking flat. But he was rich and knew what he was doing, and we didn't know. Al Benson was the king.
This is WGES Chicago 12.
You know, if you have nothing to wear tonight, don't worry about it. Just take your garments into Picking Cleaners, and they'll be ready for you in 4 hours' time. Remember, to be recognized, you gotta be pickinized. And now here is Big Joe Turner as he does Chains of Love.
Legendary disc jockey Jack the Rapper Gibson remembers Al Benson well.
What a lot of people didn't know, Al was a preacher. He had a church, and he lived above the church, and his name was Leaner. Arthur Leaner was his name. And a guy was leaving for the Navy, because this was like the end of World War II. That left a spot open. So Al's church was on this station. And so the owners came to Al and asked Al, they said, well, Reverend Lena, you do the show on Sunday. Why not play some music, some race music during the rest of the week and make you some more money for the church? That's what they told him. And when they told him that, he said, oh, for the church, let me see what I can do. So he went in and asked his congregation, would they allow him to play the devil's music? That was what he told him. And he said, but, you know, they kind of grumbled. He said, but they're going to give me money and it'll go into the coffers of the church. So the church folks say, yeah, go to work for, change your name. So he changed his name from Arthur Lena to Al Benson, because the guy's name that he took the place of, his name was Al Renson.
You want something good? Then try the wonderful sausage, Parker House. There's none greater, there's none finer tasting than Parker House. Parker House gives you that flavor, that just right taste. Get some today. This is Al Benson, cool, tall, dark, and handsome, here on WGES Chicago 12. And now it's on with music. Here are the Platters doing The Great Pretender.
Black radio telling it like it was from Public Radio International.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
His loyal listeners learned to trust him, and therefore he could sell them almost anything. Jack Gibson remembers how the old swing master could sell products better than anybody.
I would answer the phone for him. And at one particular time, I can remember, back in 1945, it was very fashionable for the black women of that day to wear fake fur called mouton lamb. And Al was selling the coat so fast, he was selling them out. Everybody was buying them. So phone call, and the guy Al was on the phone. This was Smiling Al Jacobs. So he said, Jack, would you tell Al we just got another shipment of the mouton lamb fur coats in? So I said, okay. And I whispered into Al's ear. I said, Al, guess what? Smiling Al just called and said he had shipment of mouton lambs in, just got them. $49.95, dollar down, and 50 cents a week. That's going to be the new price. So Al said, all right, Jack, I got you. I got you. I got you. The old swing master, take care of this right now, right now. Let me get on there. Stop the record engineer. Say, Smiling Al Jacobs just got a new shipment of mutton lamb fur coats. And we just fell out laughing. Because before he got off the program, they had sold every one of the 100, I guess, he had just bought. But all the women were coming into the store, thought that there was a new fur coat up called mutton lamb fur coat. But Al misconstrued the word, and instead of saying mouton lamb, he said mutton lamb.
Every hour in the day, you can hear people say, drink Canadian Ace. There are 6,999 drops of golden goodness in every bottle. Say, if you haven't tried Canadian Ace, do it today. And now here is Lloyd Price. And it has a thing that's entitled, Lordy, Miss Claudie.
Chicago disc jockey Richard Stamms developed his radio nickname based on the success of Al Benson, and they were friends at the time.
And I didn't want to turn Benson's thoughts against me, so Benson called himself the King of Swing, so I called myself the Crown Prince of disc jockeys, and that was how that started. And because of that little idea, Benson and I began to travel all over the country together. He was teaching me about national advertising companies, et cetera, and national products that he had on the station. Fact is, Benson had more nationals on his shows than any other disc jockey in the United States at that time, any other black disc jockey, and most white disc jockeys.
Al Benson bought time from the radio station just like Jackie L. Cooper. And then Benson's heavy broadcast schedule led him to hire another announcer salesman, Lucky Cordell.
His demeanor was royalty. And as I told you, he was shrewd. When beer sales were lagging, a certain beer, I don't remember which one, he would get a list of the lounges and taverns that didn't have that beer in stock. And he would visit them with an entourage of maybe 8 or 10 people. Naturally, when he walked in, everyone recognized him. Al Benson, you know. They would sit him down and they would be scurrying around, and he would say, listen, bartender, give me and my friends a round of Old Style of Budweiser, and give everybody in the house a Budweiser. And the guys, Mr. Benson, I must apologize. We don't have Budweiser in stock. You what? You don't have my beer in stock? Well, I tell you what, cancel all of that. Come on, let's go. We'll find some place where they serve our beer. I'll come back here when he gets it. He knew all the time they didn't have his beer, right?
As the old swing master's popularity grew, so did the black music industry. Al Benson demanded first play on many records so that he could say that he broke the hits. Radio veteran Sid McGoy, hey Sid.
Benson became such a power, and the record distributor that I told you that I worked for, he had to go around to Benson hat in hand, honey, to try to get the records played, you know? And Benson would really make them grovel, honey. This fellow was a guy by the name of Monroe Passes. And Monroe would talk about Benson, that son of a da-da, blah, 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 blah. And phone ring, and he'd have to go over to Benson. And he'd go over there groveling. And I mean, everybody. That's when the payola thing started.
Disc jockey E. Rodney Jones was another witness to the power of Al Benson in the music industry.
He played the music that he wanted. In fact, he didn't even know the records, man. He didn't even care anything about the records. He was a salesman personified.
Ewart Abner promoted music for VJ and Motown Records.
You weren't successful just because you had money. If you were not able to build a relationship with Al based on respect, okay, he wouldn't take your money. Al Benson was as much a star as the artist he played.
Al Benson brought all the big shows to Chicago's Regal Theater. He was quite a showman. DJ Jockey Jack Gibson remembers Benson at the Bud Billiken Parade.
And Al would be the grand marshal of the parade every year because everybody was looking for it. Al Benson meeting him at Washington Park, and Al would tell everybody, we're going to have big Bud Billiken Parade. We're going to have everybody come on out here. We're going to get it on. Yeah, we're going to do Washington Park, and we're going to do the thing out there. Boy, the old swing master going to be doing it. And I know y'all's want to be there with me. Come on down. Everybody be there. We're going to drink up all the Pepsi-Cola and eat up all the hot dogs in the place. And that was his thing. And you couldn't get in the park for all of the people on the South Side being in the park.
Like Jack Cooper, Al Benson believed in uplifting his race. Jack Gibson was amazed by one of Benson's stunts.
He hired an airplane and flew over Mississippi and dropped the thing, say, free my people and all this kind of stuff. I didn't even want to ride a train through Mississippi, let alone fly over it.
Ruth McCauley is Al Benson's sister-in-law.
He did a lot. He fought for the Negro race. To me, he taught blacks that whatever you wanted, you could achieve it if you put an effort to it. And I believe this.
Here's the old swing master himself, Al Benson.
I've done a lot of civil rights fighting in my own way, not making very much noise, but opening doors when the shapery was Jim Crowing black people. I broke that down. I got on the phone one day and told them I want to make reservations. And they said, what is your name? I said, Al Benzonsky. Wow. They said, all right, Mr. Benzonsky, how many are you going to have in your party? I said, 6. When I got there at the shapery on the second floor, the doorman said to me, I had a Cadillac. He said, where are you going? I said, where do you think I'm going? I'm going upstairs. So I got to the elevator, girl asked me, says, who do you want to see up there? I said, I want to see anybody that's performing up there. So I got upstairs, and the head waiter came over to see me. He says, I'm sorry,
We're all sold out. I said, well, that's good. I'm glad business is that good, but you have a reservation for me. He said, there must be some mistake. I said, there isn't any mistake. He said, what's your name? I said, I'm Al Benzonsky. Oh, he said, you are Al Benzonsky? I said, yes. So, and you got reservation for it. Here's my name right here. So from that day on, Jim Crowism was broken up at the great Shape Reed nightclub in Chicago.
A.J. Parker's Al Benson's daughter.
Recently, my sister called me up, and she has this letter that my father wrote to us that we received after he passed away. And within that letter, it states, I want my children to be close to God, because my father was an ordained minister. And he says, I want them to get closer to God and how God will put them on the trail that they need to be within life. And he also stresses in there, I want them to take voice lessons, because within entertainment, they can go everywhere they want to within life.
Al Benson's radio career ended in 1963. Jack Cooper retired in 1961. Before they died, Chicago was known as the Black radio capital of the world. Though they never worked together, both of their careers set the stage for the future of radio for African Americans. They used radio for themselves and for the good of the Black community they served. Jack L. Cooper was the first, and Al Benson, the old swing master, he was the flashiest. Special thanks to Mark Newman, A.J. Parker, and the Chicago Historical Society. Black Radio, telling it like it was produced by Radio Smithsonian. Jackie Gales Webb, producer. Sonia Williams and Lex Gillespie, associate producers. John Tyler, production manager. John Paulson and Matthew Sacchini, post-production engineers. And Wesley Horner, executive producer. Research by Universal Media and original music by David Ilvesacker. I'm Lou Law.
You can write Black Radio, Radio Smithsonian, MRC 645, Washington, D.C. 20560. Our internet address on the World Wide Web is www.pri.org. For further study, contact the Archives of African American Music and Culture at Indiana University, Bloomington. Black Radio, telling it like it was, is made possible by a major grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with additional support from the James Smithson Society and the Public Radio International Program Fund, whose contributors include the Ford Foundation and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. Special thanks to Sonic Solutions.
PRI, Public Radio International.
And of course, our series on the history of Black radio will continue next Monday here on Midday. A reminder that you can hear this series as well Saturday evenings at 7:30 on the FM news station. Still to come during this hour, the Gettysburg Address.
Well, Gary Acton, Stephen Smith here to help you try and raise a little money for the station. I have to say, listening to that show, I am reminded how desperately Midday needs a new theme. You know, that gong thing that you start off with every hour is pretty lame when you compare it to some of this stuff.
I think we need a little something snappier.
I think you need something with a backbeat, basically. Certainly given the kind of funky style that you bring to the show to begin with. That was just a terrific documentary. I found that, I mean, of course, being in radio, I'm somewhat interested in the subject. Having lived on the south side of Chicago, I'm somewhat interested in the subject. That was just great. That was fascinating material. And I can honestly say that there is no place else you are going to hear that kind of substantive, enjoyable, imaginative use of radio to tell a story. Now, frankly, they're telling radio story, mm-hmm. but the same kind of thing happens in other documentaries and other reports you hear throughout the day on Minnesota Public Radio. So the message is, if you liked it, and if you like it, we need to hear from you, because during this membership week is the time that we sign people up to be contributing supporters of this radio service. 1-800-227-2811. 1-800-227-2811. And, Gary, if we can raise enough money, maybe we can get a, you know, some sort of five-piece band into the studio and...
A real orchestra? The midday orchestra?
Well, yeah. I mean, I realized the last time you basically had, what, a gong and a marimba to do that thing. We'll do something a little, you know, something with a honer, with one of those big Hammond organs or, you know, maybe some bass players and stuff.
We tend to be pretty traditional here on the midday program, though, you know.
You have more of it. What you're saying is you're thinking the direction I'm going isn't quite appropriate.
See, we don't have anybody on the line
right now. Zero people.
Those of you who listen to Midday, we need you to rally around here a little bit. A lot of you, I know, use this program over the noon hour, during your lunch hour, as you're out driving around, having lunch, this, that, and the other thing. Need to hear from you if you enjoy good quality news programming. You get a full hour of it every day from 11 to noon, and then, of course, over the noon hour. Pretty nice variety of things here. We have documentaries like the program you just heard, like the programs that Stephen Smith puts together. We have speeches. National Press Club will be coming up later this week. A lot of you enjoy the speeches from the Press Club, the appearances. Call-in programs. Tomorrow we've got a call-in program, and I know a lot of you have actually called in with your questions and comments, and a good many others have tried and gotten the busy signal. Well, no busy signal right now. The important thing is that whatever, if you enjoy this programming, we need to hear from you with a membership pledge. 2,895 people have already called in. We're closing in on 2,900. Help us along here, if you would, please. 227-2811 in the Twin City area. 227-2811. If you're calling from outside the Twin Cities, all you need to do is call us at 1-800 and then 227-2811. Waiting for you, and hopefully your neighbor will join you, but right now it's up to you.
Absolutely silent in the phone room at the moment. You know, unlike commercial radio stations in this town and really any other town, Minnesota Public Radio can take an hour in the middle of the day and present a hodgepodge of materials some days, and other days one single topic carrying throughout the hour. An hour devoted to a single subject, an hour devoted to a single documentary subject, or even two documentary subjects, absolutely unique. You won't find it elsewhere. If you listen to this kind of material, if the middle of your day, as it is for me, if your middle of the day is often marked by the pleasure of hearing a speech in its entirety from the National Press Club, from the Town Hall Forum, wherever. Mm-hmm. If you like that kind of thing, you have to help us pay for it, because none of it is free. Your friends, perhaps, certainly your neighbors, have called this radio station and pledged their support. This morning, we have heard so far this morning from Ben Maddock of Maplewood calling in and renewing his membership, Gretchen Hall of Minneapolis calling as a new member to Minnesota Public Radio, Pat Cleveland of Plymouth, also a new member calling in, Marcia Bixler calling from Rochester, Minnesota to become a new member, Jeff Carty from Rosemount becoming a new member, and Christine Taylor of Duluth becoming a new member of Minnesota Public Radio today, joining what it looks like 686 people so far in this drive, in this third day. These mm-hmm. 3 days have become new members. 1,726 renewals, 483 additional contributions made, but Gary, zero people on the line at the moment.
They're waiting for the Gettysburg Address, and that's coming up.
You know, I'm sure they've never heard it before.
That is going to come up. This is Lincoln's birthday. Happy birthday, Abe, and we thought we would commemorate the birthday today with a reading of the Gettysburg Address, or at least part of it. Little odd, well, it's not odd.
Heck, it's the kind of wacky stuff we do.
Give us a call with your membership pledge. I think it may be, Stephen, that all the Midday listeners are signed up and members. We were talking earlier about what a responsible group they are. Mm. And some of them, I think, took umbrage at your insulting the gong. Ah. There is a certain community, a gong community,
That's right.
To think of it as.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your circumstance, though, if you haven't had a chance to call us, do give us a call. We need your membership support. A lot of you joined last year at this time during our February membership drive. We were talking at that time about the loss of federal funding. Well, it happened, about $350,000 worth, and the money isn't coming back. We need your continued support. So if it's time to renew, why not ring us up right now and take care of that business? And We will be glad to have you. We need to have you for another full year. One caller on the line, one of your fellow midday listeners on the line, waiting for you now to step forward. 227-2811, 227-2811, or 1-800-227-2811. You know, Stephen, I bet if there's no way to prove this, of course, so I can mouth off about this, but I would be willing to bet huge amounts of money that if we knew, people who aren't members yet, if we knew who they were and just swung, you know, drove by the house, stopped by, rang the doorbell, said, "Hey, I understand you listen to Midday." "Yes, we do. Listen to Minnesota Public Radio, time to time. Want to become a member at $66? Just fill out a check and pay it on a monthly basis." Most people would join.
Yes, but on the other hand, most people would probably be horrified to see what we actually look like. Given that we all have faces made for radio, this kind of drive-by pledging could be kind of dangerous.
Absolutely.
Three people are on the line now, Gary. I think you're right. If we did just knock on doors and say, "Look, you know, you listen, give some money," people would do it. One thing that I think happens is that people assume, well, this is they do this a couple of times a year. They've got a lot of members over there. They don't need me. The fact is, in an environment where federal funding is on the decline, an environment where we are constantly coming up with new and creative ways to figure out how to pay for this broadcast service, one thing that is also true is that corporations who give money to us, foundations who contribute money to us, and what diminishing federal funds there are, all of those, or most of those, tend to be predicated on knowing that people actually listen. The old days where you could put something on the air and no one listened and you could keep getting money for it from some source somewhere are over, believe me. Mm-hmm. And one way, one absolutely fundamental way we prove that the people in our community value what they get from Minnesota Public Radio is through this kind of fundraising effort on the radio, Membership Week. I should add, Gary, that, you know, it's not just people calling in their contributions that help make Membership Week work. It's also people in the community, the volunteers who are in the phone room now answering the phones, and only four people are on the line now, many more lines available. And also companies in the community that help us by, among other things, contributing food. For example, this afternoon, Atrium Catering International provided a bunch of just absolutely wonderful box lunches for volunteers and for those of us who are engaged in trying to convince you to become a member. And also, we have some great torts downstairs, apparently, by René du Saba Torts. And I know I have pronounced that wrong, and I apologize to you. But the point is, there is a lot behind this entire membership effort, a lot behind this Pledge Week machinery to make it easy for you to call at 1-800-227-2811 and take just a couple of minutes to become a member.
Kind of a last call here. We've got the Gettysburg Address coming up momentarily. We've got four callers on the line. Really need to hear from you. If you've not yet had a chance to call us, it just does, as Stephen said, just takes a minute or two of your time. Lots of volunteers are here. We have a whole huge bank of phones. No busy signals. You'll be able to get right through. Show your support for good quality news and information program. We've got lots of premiums that we've talked about. You're going to hear more about that through the week. And those are nice. It's a nice little inducement, a little thank you gift. But the important thing, if this service is useful to you, if you find an hour news summary is something that you want to have available when you can listen, if you like documentaries, speeches, call-in programs over the noon hour, if you're waiting now for Talk of the Nation with Ray Suarez, you think that's a good program, now's the time to show us that support with a membership pledge. 227-2811 or 1-800-227-2811. Today, of course, is Abraham Lincoln's birthday. Lincoln, considered to be one of the nation's greatest presidents, if not the greatest president, was born on February 12, 1809. Now, of course, we used to celebrate his birthday and George Washington's birthday on the 22nd, for that matter, on the actual birthdays. These days, the official celebrations are rolled into President's Day next Monday. Nevertheless, we thought we would stick to tradition today and celebrate Abe Lincoln's birthday. So here is part of Abraham Lincoln's most famous speech, the Gettysburg Address, delivered in July of 1863, following the historic Union victory at Gettysburg that turned the tide of the Civil War. It is read by actor Sam Waterston.
47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met here on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of it as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that their nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they have thus far so nobly carried on. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they here gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
That reading of the Gettysburg Address by actor Sam Waterston on the PBS series The Civil War was aired today by Monitor Radio, and we thought in honor of Abe Lincoln's birthday it would be worth broadcasting here on Midday. The Gettysburg Address, July of 1863. Well, that does it for our midday program today. We'd sure like to thank you for joining us through the hour, especially those of you, thanks to those of you who've been calling in with your membership support. That's what makes this kind of thing possible, and we hope that those of you who've not yet had a chance to call us will do so. Again, that number to pledge your support is 227-2811, 227-2811. If you're calling from outside the Twin Cities, the number would be 1-800-227-2811. Today's programming is supported by financial contributions from Minnesota Public Radio listeners. Matter of fact, each day's programming is supported by listener contributions, so hope to hear from you. Now, what do we have on tap for tomorrow? Well, of course, tonight the folks down in Iowa will be going to their political party caucuses, and among other things, will be expressing their preference for president. And all the focus, of course, is on the Republican side since President Clinton is unopposed. Tomorrow, we're going to try to sort through just where the Republican candidates stand on the issues. We have not been visited by presidential campaigns, presidential candidates, and probably won't be, at least for the most part, during this year. But we thought we would help you sort through just where the candidates stand. Joining us will be activists Sarah Janicek and Tom Horner. And you'll have an opportunity to call in with your specific questions. That's coming up on Midday tomorrow. Gary Eichten, thanks for tuning in today.
I'm Andrei Codrescu. Join me, John Raby, and the Washington crew for the news and long looks into the human soul.
It's All Things Considered every day at 3 on the FM news station, KNOW-FM 91.1.
You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio. We have a sunny sky, 25 degrees. The wind chill now is 12 degrees. At the FM news station, KNOW-FM 91.1, Minneapolis-St. Paul. Our Twin City weather forecast, sunny skies through the afternoon with a high temperature in the mid to upper 20s. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low from 10 to 15.